This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Speaks volumes about the number of countries we have seen come to the table, reaching out to this administration to cut deals. It's because the entire world knows they need to do business with the United States of America. And China knows that too, Sean. And as President Trump directed me to say yesterday, it remains true tonight. The ball is in China's court. They need to do business with the United States. They need the best thing on the face of the planet, and that is the American consumer. And we are the best place in the world to do business. The rest of the world knows that, and that's why Japan was here today to negotiate a trade deal.
So we are watching President Trump and the implementation of his tariffs and the great negotiation, the art of the deal, of course, as he literally wrote the book on it, trying to figure out how we're going to negotiate with all of these countries. And we see Donald Trump engaging aggressively with these countries who have come to the negotiating table and then fiercely push back on those who chose to retaliate. I think the biggest one, of course, is China. That's the big key to all of this. How is the president going to get a favorable outcome with the implementation of tariffs on China? Their reactions. Coming to us today to get an expert on this is Fox Business senior correspondent and, of course, New York Post columnist Charles Gasparino. Charles, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm reading through this article that you have featured, if people want to read in depth on what you've put together in the New York Post, about the possible delisting of these Chinese companies. You have written here that nearly 300 Chinese companies represent more than $1 trillion in the market value, trade on U.S. markets, namely the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ Composite. Can you talk to us a little bit about this reaction of what this would mean with this potential delisting?
Well, I mean, it's just another tool in the trade war, I guess, so to speak. What the people pushing the delistings will say, and that's Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, the senator, Rick Scott of Florida, is that this goes beyond, just part of the trade war. This is literally these companies not fully disclosing their ties to China, the sort of details of those ties. So remember what they're saying. I'm not saying it's the case. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? There are disclosures in a lot of these companies about this CCP and its influence. But, that's at least what these companies are saying and these congressmen are saying. And, you know, the other thing I think they would say, and this is kind of interesting, is like, okay, even if they do disclose it, why is that, so good? This is – do we want this? I mean, is this something that you want is this something that we want to finance? Because you are financing China Inc. We're giving them access to to our capital markets. These companies are, under the sort of thumb of the Chinese Communist Party. There's no doubt about that. Should we be doing it anyway, even if they do disclose every single last bit of it? So that's kind of where we are right now. And Paul Atkins assured Rick Scott that he will look at this stuff.
Yeah, I think that it's, from where I sit as a very novice, grateful that I have opportunity to speak to experts like you on these, the economics of all of this. What President Trump is doing is transformational. It's like a resetting of the foundation of our economic system. And when we had you on last, Charles, it was like either the day before or the day of the tariff implementation, Liberation Day, as the president calls it. And you were very cautious about being, you know, super pro-tariff and concerned about what would happen. Hopeful that maybe Donald Trump is, of course, successful in his endeavor because the alternative is not going to be great for the country. How do you feel this far into the implementation of it? Do you see that the president is having some success?
You know, I think he will. I think he will have some success. I don't know. Enough right now where we are. I think you can make a very strong point that, you know, this is a very complicated subject, right? I mean, obviously, right? I mean,
very.
we're talking about, you know, upending a huge chunk of the economy that has been going a certain way for years. And now we're taking it and just doing a wicked left turn on it. So that's going to cause a lot of indigestion. I think I'm not saying it wasn't needed because, you know, it would be nice to manufacture more stuff here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, when we had COVID, we had to go to China for masks. I mean, that's kind of crazy, you know? The country that gave us COVID, we had to beg them for masks.
Yeah.
So I will say that's kind of not what you want. My point is that, so he's on firm ground with his argument. Now, the approach is where this thing gets interesting. And, you know, could we have done this differently? Could we have waited until we have the tax cuts through, the economy humming? You know, you see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because this really is a wicked left turn. I mean, this is like, whoa.
Yeah, when it comes to transformational economic policies, of course, the tariff plan is a huge thing, but also the tax cuts being made permanent that you have to get through Congress, huge thing. And then also DOGE and everything that Elon Musk is looking to find and claw back and cost cutting, huge. You got these three massive economic changes in direction, forks in the road, so to speak. And it's you got to juggle a lot of it. I've heard people say that the reason to do the tariff thing so quickly is that, as you said, manufacturing needs to come back to the United States. And in order to actually, you know, he's got to negotiate these deals. But the case that was made to me as I'm sitting here watching Fox Business at home and trying to learn as much as I can was that the sooner that you implement deals based on these tariffs, the sooner the ball starts rolling on manufacturing back in the country. You can't snap your fingers and, oh, there's a factory and a whole bunch of jobs and we're you know, making widgets here. Is that part of the reason why the president prioritized this so early in his presidency in the second term, is so that we can see some manufacturing before he's done?
I mean, I'm sure that's the reason. The question is, was it the right reason? You know, I still question whether we needed to go there so soon, mm-hmm. given everything else that we needed to do. You know, it seemed to me that, you know, he had a lot on his plate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Might have been. And by the way, getting the economy moving at 3% growth and cutting debt will bring a lot of jobs, will create a lot of jobs. I mean, I think the notion that we're not creating enough jobs is kind of like is not right. I mean, getting the economy going will create jobs. And I think we, you know, some of this could take care of itself, and it puts you in a better bargaining position when you're bargaining from strength. You see what I'm saying?
So sure.
I do think that, you know, that this is going to be, listen, this isn't just me. This is going to be debated like ad nauseum over the next year, and particularly if these trade deals don't get done fast.
Yeah. We're speaking with Charles Gasparino, the Fox Business senior correspondent, a New York Post columnist. You can read his article on the SEC actions against these Chinese companies. You know, you highlighted here that it's complicated. And I'll tell you this, when it comes to preparing to do an interview, I have to study more on these tariff conversations and the economic conversations than I do on other things, because they're so complicated that I'm trying to make sure that I can ask intelligent questions so that go ahead.
Where to begin and where to end, because there's tariffs upon tariffs upon, you know, there's a baseline tariff and then there's extra tariffs and then there's possibly some exemptions. So it's hard to know where to go with this.
Well, and you know, the thing that I find from where I sit just outside of it and having access to people like you, but also access to people who are pundits, who are political pundits, the more complicated any topic is, foreign policy can very much be the same thing. The more complicated it is, the more room politics has to come in and kind of take over. And you stop talking about policies and like the things that are actually happening, and it just becomes more red versus blue or my guy versus your guy. What is it that you want the novice out there watching their 401k, watching the stock market, very concerned about their own personal position in all of this? What is it that you really want those people to know that might be getting swept up in the politics of the matter?
Well, that, you know, there is no right or wrong answer here. Let me back off. President Trump was on really strong grounds, demanding that the country get fair trade deals. There is no doubt about that. We've been getting screwed for years. China is, I mean, you know, it's a very aggressive, some would say exploitative country when it comes to trade and many other things. So, you know, he's on strong ground. You know, this is not. He's not making this up, just so you know. Mm-hmm. The Democrats make you think he's making it up. Now, there is also a theory that maybe he should have waited. You know, maybe this was not the right time to do it. And I think, you know, that I think is a more nuanced view of this, that he could have, you know, this could have been saved, you know, for another time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And we'll have to watch and see if Trump was right on that, and the possibility that he was wrong exists. I think that's where I want to make sure that I'm always being an honest broker with people who are listening to the show. Is like, we have to take the facts for what they are and wait and see what happens. I've heard people suggest as well, this is just, you know, theories that I'm finding. I'm interested in your opinion on it, that if the president is to tank the economy to some extent, intentionally, maybe, that there's an opportunity to refinance some debt that would be beneficial. Maybe it causes rates to come down and that's beneficial for Main Street. Is there any value to that thought process?
Well, if we can get the debt down, it would be great. But it's hard to get the debt down when your economy's not growing. And, you know, there's going to be some impact on the tariffs. It's going to hurt the economy. Now, even if you think it's going to bring back jobs in a couple of years, there's going to be an economic impact. I mean, you're already seeing it. So remember, that's where this thing gets very, very tricky. And in terms of the markets, if you're talking about purely as a small investor, markets generally hate this stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like predictability is what the market thrives in, and this is the opposite.
Yeah, the more this goes on, like in a non sort of with no end, no light at the end of the tunnel, the worse it's going to be. I will say this. I just put it on Twitter. I mean, you should follow my Twitter page because you'll get like up to the minute stuff. That they believe there's substantial progress on the Japanese talk. So, you know, we may have a deal on Japan kind of, which would be a good thing. That's a big trading partner.
Yeah. Well, at C. Gasparino on X for people who want to follow you and stay up to minute. I know a lot of people are paying a lot of attention to this. Charles, we thank you for your insight. We look forward to having you back because we like the way that you talk straight on the issues and the matter. It's not political. You're good at that and you're consistent at that. So we're grateful for your time today.
I much appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye. Charles Gasparino there, Fox Business senior correspondent, New York Post columnist as well. You should follow him at X on X at C. Gasparino. A two A's in Gasparino, and listen to what he has to say.